Dan Carell, CEO of the Digital Commerce Alliance, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if you like this podcast, come join us at a Digital Commerce Alliance event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week on Commerce Code, I'm talking with Peter Vogel from VLoyalty. VLoyalty provides an automated loyalty enrollment and tracking system that's based on users' credit cards. They do SMS text-based confirmations to consumers, and that allows consumer-permissioned text marketing. Of course, texts have a much, much higher open rate than emails for, well, everyone, and certainly for me. So it's a big win to reach your best customers via text. Overall, the idea at VLoyalty is to automate the parts of a loyalty program that tend most often to break down in a retail environment. Peter's a serial entrepreneur. He's co-founded several companies in the fintech loyalty and marketing space. He's a chief revenue officer at VLoyalty. In today's episode, Peter and I are talking about how rare it is for frontline staff at merchants to even ask customers if they're members of the merchant's loyalty program and the huge missed opportunities at the merchant as a result. Point of sale tech as a solution to that problem. So making it operationally easy to serve customers well, while also ensuring that they're enrolled in a loyalty program and getting its full benefit. To be honest, this episode isn't about my fast food guilty pleasures. That is, it didn't have to be about that. But there is some discussion of McFlurries, some discussion of Blizzards. I may have alluded to Chick-fil-A in case you think I only eat ice cream. There's a brief consideration of eating at 20 fast food restaurants in the next 2 weeks. That hasn't been decided on yet. Even with all of that, Peter and I are also talking about how to show return on investment in the digital loyalty program space. Now, don't worry. You don't need to listen to me downing a Big Mac, a Whopper, a Wendy's, Big Bacon, Cheddar Cheeseburger. I'm getting hungry. During the show, no, fast food was harmed in the making of this podcast. Shortly afterwards, may have been a different story. Stay tuned for Making Large-Scale Loyalty Easy, a conversation with Peter Vogel at VLoyalty. This episode of Commerce Code is brought to you by Augeo, a global leader in engagement platform technologies that create compelling experiences, foster people connections, and cultivate brand advocates worldwide. With more than 45 years of experience, Augeo empowers Fortune 500 companies to deliver extraordinary brand experiences for employees, consumers, channel partners, subscribers, and members. Fueled by a holistic engagement ecosystem across workplace engagement, experiential, social activation, customer loyalty, and digital asset experiences, Augeo's mission is inspiring people to achieve more, one interaction, transaction, and experience at a time. Augeo, engagement unleashed. Peter, welcome to Commerce Code. It's great to have you on the show. Where are you joining us from today?
Good old Denver, Colorado.
Terrific. All right. Well, look, I just want to dive in right away with some research that I know you guys have been doing recently. And I think you're going to share some more about this at the DCA Summit on October 9th in New York City. So we're not going to give it all away here. But you've done some work to kind of understand the loyalty programs of the top 20 fast food brands. It would be a fun exercise, by the way, to just like have to speed list the top 20 fast food brands. I think I could definitely do 10 solidly based on my diet in the last 2 weeks, but I don't know if I could get to 20. Anyway, so I think the audience, for reasons having less to do with the actual food, of which I'm a fan, I think the audience would be pretty interested in what you've learned. So like, I would love to know, like, what's one big thing you've learned from that work?
So we did a study, and it will, as you said, we haven't even released it yet, but it's going to be coming out in the next few weeks, and we'll be sharing a lot more at the DCA Summit. But the main topic was the automation of loyalty programs. And to us, that means how easy are loyalty programs to use? How easy are they to join? How easy are they to earn points or currency? And then how easy is it to actually get something out of that, get the reward at the end? So we looked at like five or six different parameters of these fast food places. And, you know, like you said, our audience here is going to know these all. These are all the places we grew up with. And, you know, many of us probably still eat there, the McDonald's and Burger King's and Wendy's and Taco Bell's. And nowadays the Five Guys and the Chick-fil-A's and the Panera's, like some of the newer entrants. But what we did is we looked at five different cities. And so we had five people, one in each city, And each person went to each restaurant several times, and they had to go to different locations in their city. So we wanted to make sure this was a look across the country, not just at one region or one city or one state.
Peter, I just want to say, the next time you do this, like, please give me a ring. I need to be able to tell my family, like, I am obligated to go get another McFlurry. That's all I want to be able to say. I just want to be able to say that.
You know, I was one of the testers here in Denver.
Nice.
And there were many times where my wife looked at me kind of side-eyed, like, mm-hmm. Really? You're going to Wendy's? Like, mm-hmm. Really? So now mm-hmm. Burger King? But, you know, the secret is you don't have to go and buy like an absolutely full meal at each of these things. The only thing we required of our testers, they had to go up. They couldn't go through the drive-thru because we wanted to test the process of someone going into the restaurant. They had to walk up and buy something. That could be a coffee, an ice cream, whatever they wanted. And the very first thing, and this is kind of the piece of data that I'll talk about here, because I think it's one of the more interesting things. We wanted to find out, of these locations, how many of them are actually asking people if they're members of the loyalty program when they make a purchase. And that's typically how you get someone to enroll. You know, if they walk through the line, if the cashier never says, oh, hey, by the way, you know, you remember the loyalty program or the rewards program, you're not going to get people joining. And almost all these places do put little table tents or signage or things all around. But all of us have so many data inputs coming at us. You kind of ignore signage in restaurants and you're busy running in and out. You're probably not going to download an app. What really makes a difference if when a human says to you, you know, hey, have you heard about a rewards program? You know, it's really great. You can start earning free meals in just a couple visits. That's what kind of spurs people to do it. And we were very surprised at how rarely anyone ever asked that question. And out of, I think it was somewhere between 150 to 200 restaurant visits in these five cities, I would say less than 10% of the time, and that's not the final number, but that's going to be very close. Less than 10% of the time does anyone at the front desk ask you or say anything about the rewards program. So 9 out of 10 visits, they're losing that opportunity to either promote their program, get someone to join, to make sure that person's appropriately attracted, et cetera. And this is one of the things our loyalty program is kind of built to address. But one of the notions we try and dispel is, you know, when we give people that fact, most people say, oh, well, that's, you know, it's just going to take a lot longer to get people to enroll, to get people signed up. You know, that's a definite enrollment problem. And the reality is it's actually an entire program problem, because one, if you don't ask people, first of all, they may never hear about your rewards program ever. Two, even if they want to join, if you don't ask them, and even if they're a member, they might have forgotten they joined. They may have joined 6 months ago. You know, we're all members of 20 programs, 30, 40 probably. If you joined 6 months ago, you probably forgot you joined. You're not going to walk up and say, hey, here's my phone number, or hey, here's my QR code in the app, like scan this to give me credit. So one, they're missing the transaction. If you joined, they're missing the transaction. And three, if you're actually someone who's coming regularly, you probably earn a reward. They never get a chance to actually give you that reward because they're missing tracking you. You don't know you've even earned a reward. So if you're not interacting with people at the point of sale, you don't get them to sign up, you miss transactions, and then you miss all those points of engagement. You know, there's probably millions of people who've made purchases, gotten rewards, who you could have texted and said, congratulations, you just earned 50 points. Congratulations, you just earned a free Big Mac in your next meal. But if you're never even asking at the point of sale, you miss out on all those opportunities. So that was one of the things we were surprised by, is how rarely even these companies that spend a lot of money on their programs take the time to actually ask their customers about it.
Yeah, just to pause on that, I've done a lot of work over the years in different ways with these kinds of organizations. And just to give you a sense of, you know, there's so much complexity and scale and magnitude and whatever. One of my favorite quotes was from one of the companies that surely is in the top 20, at least. So we were talking about global operations, and he said, you know, here in our shop, we run 40 million register transactions a day globally. And so if there's a 1 in a million chance of something going wrong in our shop, it happens 40 times a day. And so that at the global level, right, like there's so many things to pay attention to. It's very easy to see how the loyalty piece can kind of get, it's one of many. And then I think if you take it down to the restaurant level, you take the manager of any given local, you know, to Wendy's or whatever, and say like, hey, blank sheet of paper, like just write down your top sort of 20 list of priorities. or problems you got to deal with today. You know, it's going to be very, you know, it's, you know, employee turnover, like, you know, you got like a new person just, you know, constantly joining, whatever, like all this stuff. And I think if you were to watch that and see what they would write down, it would be hard to imagine how they could possibly pay attention to, like, oh, and are you signing up your customers for the loyalty thing, right? Or are you asking them about the loyalty thing? Like, that is just, they are fighting fires literally and figuratively at a level that makes it totally understandable that, like, relying on just doing it, like, well, we need to just work harder and do it. It's not going to happen.
Right. And I think what you just brought up, two points, is the training. So one, you have to have people trained to train all their staff. So the managers all have to be trained to train their staff and then enforce it and actually require them to do it. And then secondly, you have the staff turnover. So a lot of these places have a very young staff who come in and out every 6 months. It could be seasonal, depending on, you know, school, that sort of thing. So that's two problems. And then a third, you know, I've talked with a lot of the biggest brands in the world at a bunch of these loyalty conferences, and I've had people tell me they know that some of the marketing people actually, they instruct staff and managers not to ask about the program because they're so worried about speed of the lines. A lot of these restaurants, they may do like 60, 70% of their business during an hour long period, you know, from 12 to 1, depending on the type of restaurant it is. Mm-hmm. The last thing they can afford is someone who walks in and sees 20 people in line and walks right back out. And if that means not tracking perfectly for the loyalty program, I think at the end of the day, the bottom line they're looking at is revenue. They're not as concerned about the loyalty program, which, like you said, it's on a sheet of paper. It could be number 16 of what they're worried about.
Well, and customer satisfaction too, right? I mean, like, people don't want to, you know, if people, you're standing in line, you're watching some complicated conversation taking place up front that doesn't even have to do with food. It makes sense that you want to just, you know, make it, that's the point of these places, is to move pretty quickly. And so that also, you know, kind of figures in. So, you know, the question is, like, how do you make this really work? So we could talk about, because I think there's so many interesting, just like operational human elements in here, but that's because I'm a nerd. We dove in with some really interesting stuff, but I would like to kind of just take a step back and get, for listeners' benefit and a little bit for mine, I feel like I know you guys pretty well, but I'd love to hear what you guys do, just in plain English, what you do, how it works, what that sort of technology or business model is that you're doing at vPromos.
That's really one of the main problems we're trying to solve with our program. We operate loyalty programs, and we have a patented loyalty technology that essentially remembers a credit card or debit card that's used to pay, so that you can track that person from that point forward with just their credit card. And we do all of this on the payment terminal, so it's not reliant on a counter person. To give you an example of just like a use case of how this works. So say if you're operating one of our programs, you would walk in. You would make a purchase, it brings up $20, you pay with your credit card. If we're part of the system, what's going to happen is that terminal is going to ping our cloud, where we save a token of different credit cards. So we tokenize a credit card so there's no personal information. If we don't recognize that credit card, we send a message back and tell the screen, hey, tell that person they can join the loyalty program. So what would pop up on the screen, it says, hey, would you like to link this card to a loyalty program and create a brand new account, you know, or do you already have one? If you click create an account, it's going to go to a page where it asks you to enter your mobile phone number. At that point, we send a text message out to the person automatically asking them to reply why, which is in accordance with the texting laws now that are pretty strict. And at that point, that person joined the program on the terminal and is now a member. Every time they come back and they pay with the same card, they just put the card in, pay. The message is going to pop up that says, congrats, you just earned 50 points. So the cashier, again, has never said a word, never has to. All this interaction occurs on the payment terminals, and we're starting to pick up more traction. Our biggest challenge was that a lot of locations didn't have the nice enough terminals with the big screens and the color. And nowadays, lots and lots of places you go into have like beautiful POSs with big screens, and you're doing everything on a touchscreen and you're typing in your phone number, et cetera. Nowadays, that technology is finally here. So it kind of works with what we do. But everything we do is automated down to even the reward piece. So with a lot of reward programs, you earn enough points to get a reward. It sits in your mobile app and it just says, hey, like at Chipotle, it says, hey, you have a free guac. If you don't go back in your app and remember that, you completely forget about it and it probably expires eventually. And Chipotle has lost a big opportunity to have that kind of moment of delight where someone's happy, they're like, they experience their free walk. And so what we do is once someone reaches a level of a $5 reward, and it could be any level, that's just a hypothetical example, we send a message that says, hey, congrats, you just earned a $5 reward. It's going to be applied to your next purchase. So we're actually encouraging them to come back. Then when they come back, it automatically deducts the $5 from their purchase right there on the spot without them having to do anything. And it pops up on the machine and says, you just got $5 off. You know, thank you for being a loyal member. It also is printed on their seat that says, you just got $5. And it shows, it's reflected the $5 reward on there. So in this whole process, and again, that's without the cashier. So we've tried to automate the whole process so the staff and cashier never has to do anything. We get them to sign up in the terminal. We track them, we link their card, and then we give them rewards automatically so that everything happens automatically. And we're in talks with a bunch of QSRs, and that's why we did this study. Our biggest client is Napa Auto Parts, so it's completely outside of the realm of this. But we think our technology is a great fit for QSR, so we're actively pursuing a bunch of big partnerships right now. But with Napa, we operate a program for them in about 6,000 stores, and it's close to about 14 million people. So we have scaled for enterprise brands, and we're excited right now because the technology's finally gotten to where kind of we need it to be in order to make our program really, really go across a variety of brands.
And the whole thing I find compelling because, you know, one of my maxims is people talk about what's important, but they do what's easy, right? And so there's an aspect of, and that's more from the customer perspective, I think, when I think of it that way, like it's just easy to do. You know, everybody's barrier is, I guess, a little different, but if it's, hey, do you want to join our loyalty program? And it's really just a matter of saying yes. And then the thing kind of happens, you get a phone number and you're done. That's just pretty different. Like, you know, if it's a complicated process, it just, it doesn't happen, right? And I think we've all developed some antibodies to like, oh, no, it's okay, right? Just because we don't want to take the time. When things get really easy, that's on the consumer side, that's huge. I think on the operational side, that's where we started here in this conversation. It's critical. I still think about, you know, your people that are actually working in that environment have a million priorities. And this is one that can be taken care of automatically, as you guys are doing already for Napa, you know, so it should be basically. And so that makes a ton of sense to me. You know, the other thing that you and I have talked about before, and as you're in conversations with more clients of vPromos, I'm sure you're thinking about this, which is return on investment. Like, how do you think about return on investment? It's a challenging thing in this space to show that, or how do we talk about it? We had this conversation at a couple of roundtables earlier this year. And so we'd love to get your take on, you know, how do you guys think about showing return on investment right now in your space?
That is vital. A loyalty program is going to have an expense because you're giving away, if it's not free food, you're giving away dollars off or something else. I mean, there is a reward that has to be rich enough that it makes sense for people to participate. The way our system operates, we're able to see all the transactions that come through, whether they're reward members or non-reward program members. So we can see every single transaction, and then we can measure what's the average size of a transaction for a member and what's the average size for a non-member. And then we can calculate the difference so we can see what's that incremental lift. And to give an example, and this is not from any specific client, but these are typical types of numbers we see. It's not unusual to see about a 40% lift in the average transaction for a member versus non-member. So, you know, if you're looking at $20 for an average transaction, it might be for a member, it might be closer to 12 or 13 bucks for a non-member. And so then we can go and look and see how many transactions have been driven by members. What's that incremental spend? So we could see a program drove, say, $2 million in extra incremental spend based on comparing members to non-members. And then we can look at maybe rewards cost $200,000, and maybe there's a program cost of, you know, $200,000 of management, et cetera. So you can look at and calculate an ROI and say, we drove, and let's use a bigger number, just freeze your math, but $10 million in extra spend. And with rewards and management and things like that, we spend about $1 million. So you can literally look at it and say, we are generating a 10x ROI on the program. And who loves that is the, you know, the VP of marketing or the VP of loyalty, who then goes and presents to their C-level and can show they're not just a cost center. They're actually a revenue source for the company. And you can imagine that gets people a lot more excited to kind of invest resources, both time and money, in something like loyalty. If you can actually show them it's not just a feel good, we have to have this. Because I think in the old, a while, people just thought loyalty programs, like, okay, we kind of have to have this in place. Everyone has one. If we don't, we look bad. It's kind of also feel good for our very, very loyal members. But it's really been proven over the last decade that reward programs and loyalty programs really do drive incremental spend. And some studies show 15% more gross revenue for companies after they initiate a loyalty program. So ROI is huge and is something that in every report we give our clients is usually reported on page one.
Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com.
I mean, one of the things that, you know, I think is true in marketing, I think it's just true in life, is that when you ask somebody to get involved and when they say, yes, I will. And I'm talking about, like, even at a very minor level, right? If you've asked me to say, like, hey, do you want to join the loyalty program? It just, to me, it kind of creates a presence in my head that is just different than if I've seen, like, just a general marketing message, or I've seen a, you know, something that's out there that, you know, that reminds me of the brand, maybe how much I like it. That's great. But if there's an invitation to sort of engage, get involved at some, even in a very small way, it just changes its kind of presence in my head. It's going to create my, you know, it's going to create different consumption. So that all makes total sense. And making it easy to get involved, there's just kind of like, how do you make it easy for people to get work done and to feel like they've got something done? They still feel a sense of like, oh, good. Like, I got that, you know, I kind of check off, like, oh, I've got this list of things that I, you know, even if it's like, you know, loyalty memberships, whatever, getting those things cleaned up. And in a sense, you're thinking about like, how's that, like, where am I going to spend my money, right? Like, where am I going to do my commerce, right, in lots of ways? And I think we're influenced by all those things. So it all makes a ton of sense to me. I'm also thinking about the missing McFlurries, like the marginal McFlurries that I haven't consumed in the last several months. I've just been thinking about McFlurries the whole conversation. Sorry, Peter. Okay, so I wanted to just maybe close out with kind of a look forward on some new stuff. And you've got some thoughts, I know, on kind of new tech and where maybe it may take us. And, you know, I think we've all experienced, consumers, you know, are now aware, right, after, I think, kind of decades of point of sale for credit cards really not changing, like, changes in that, and therefore it sort of changes in the loyalty and rewards ecosystem. But I think there's a lot more change to come for people inside the industry who are kind of paying attention. What to you is kind of exciting when you look at the next, say, few years of innovations in this space?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we're exploring right now, and I don't think we've cracked the code on this yet, and I don't think, not really, I don't know if anyone really does this yet, but in looking at ways to connect disparate sets of people and track them. So if we have a loyalty program, say at Napa, and we have X amount of millions of people whose credit card we can recognize via a token, and someone else like Netflix has, you know, 100 million subscribers or probably more, I'm not even sure. They have all of their credit cards on file as well and can create a similar token. And theoretically, they could run an ad on Netflix, which there's a version now with ad. And we've talked to companies like Fubo and Netflix and Hulu. You know, lots of these streaming services are now, it's funny, everyone went away from advertising completely to be cable kind of in streaming services. And now everything's going back, I feel like, to just regular TV with ads. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, with the advent of token vaults, and this goes into more like the card-linked offer world, where, you know, obviously the DCA, Digital Commerce Alliance, is really the organization, you know, in America for card-linked offers and card-linked marketing. There's going to be more of a world where your credit card and your spending can be universally recognized in many places without you having to go opt into every single program. Like, there's things you can join. Like, if you're a Chase cardholder, Chase will show you offers, but you have to be a Chase cardholder. But what if Netflix could have an advertisement on TV that says, hey, if you go make a purchase at Napa in the next 14 days and you spend $50 or more on so-and-so, you know, you get $25 back. So you get some big deal that really makes it worthwhile. Netflix can use the same tokenization mechanism that we would. We would share those tokens in some sort of shared token vault, which is run by like a lot of big companies, like I think like Epsilons or Axioms or people like that offer services like that, where they're kind of third party, completely neutral. They store the tokens, and then we can essentially match up and recognize each other's customers without those people having to come identify themselves. And that this kind of ties all back to us trying to do everything in an automated, seamless way. We're trying to make it so if you click something on your TV, you can walk into Napa and get $25 off, all just by paying with the same credit card. So we're exploring a bunch of those things and looking at some tests. That's not really happening, as far as I know, really anywhere yet. But I think there's lots of opportunity to kind of cross-platform, recognize and reward and kind of just engage with people on all different platforms and be able to recognize them no matter where they go, essentially. It's almost like the credit card is the new cookie. You know, we thought forever cookies were going away. Now that seems up in the air again. But mm-hmm. we've described it as the credit card is it's the new cookie. That if you can be tracked, as long as companies can identify you via that in conjunction with some other token or recognition system, I think there's a lot of different opportunities there kind of across channels, a really big omni-channel opportunity.
Yeah. And I will say too that, you know, depending on, I guess, people's level of technical knowledge, what I am not speaking as an expert at all, but just having had a lot of conversations at DCA events and kind of working with different companies in the membership, one of the things about this is that it, in the conversation that we're having, we're talking about how to track and to kind of deliver value to customers and stuff through these channels. One always, perhaps people who understand tech less, and that I would kind of include myself in a way in that, is tempted to think that there's this sort of all-seeing eye that knows, you know, who you are and, you know, where you had breakfast. And that's really not, I mean, that's the thing about tokenization, is that it's really not that at all, right? It's actually a really, I'm sure the technology underneath it has some complexity, but like, it's actually a very simple idea that you could kind of carry out almost with, you know, paper sheets of paper if you needed to, right? In a primitive environment where you guys are able to see, to get like a ping that says, yeah, you're entitled to a reward, or yeah, there's a connection between A and B that say I, Dan, have permissioned, right? But it doesn't tell, you know, it's not some comprehensive data set. And I think when people hear, you know, because it gets to where you wonder, like, well, what does tokenization mean? You know, it's essentially just encrypting something and creating a symbol for something that I think is pretty simple and conveys like just the right amount of information, which is why, you know, the solution to you guys is compliant with all the relevant laws and all that stuff, right? I mean, am I describing that close to correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tokenization is a very simple concept. You're taking something that may be private or you may not want to store, and you're turning it into a random line of numbers and letters with some sort of hashed encryption. And the most important thing about it, you can't go backwards. Like you can tokenize something and there's a token, but you can't take the token and then turn it back into the credit card number. And that's the whole reason people tokenize things, is because they want them to just be a simple something that has no PII, and it's not storing anything else about you. All it is it can recognize you using that payment card, so that on its own has no stored data, nothing secret. So yeah, I think what you said is accurate, and I think the description of it as being relatively simple is true.
Simple but powerful. You know, the idea of token vaults, again, like a good one and one to track over time. Peter, it's always a lot of fun to talk, and I look forward to more conversation. Again, I'm going to have a bigger conversation with you guys. And I'm very interested to dig deeper into the study. I may do some just advanced research of my own, if that's okay, before the summit at, you know, McDonald's, Wendy's. And I'll get the list of the 18 others. I want to make sure I've covered all 20, you know, because that's only reasonable. And what did you say? It's only 100 visits to fast food between now and 2 months from now when we do the summit. And then I just want to keep you honest, you know, like just to make sure.
I don't blame you. And don't miss Chick-fil-A or Sonic or Five Guys. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good fast food places out there these days.
I'm there. Well, look, thanks a bunch, Peter. Terrific. And thanks for joining us today on Commerce Code.
Yeah, great to be here, and look forward to seeing you in person in New York.
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com. Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week.